Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products. Because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Car Stuff. I'm Scott Benjamin.
And I'm Ben Bolin, still.
Did I catch you off guard, Ben?
To this day, just a little bit. Oh. You guys... I hate it when people say this to me, but it is true. You guys don't even know. Scott Benjamin off air is just a rapacious wit. And, you know, you're quick with a joke. And I can't believe I started off the podcast trying to muffle my laughter.
As you normally do.
As right? I normally
do.
Because
it's so fun.
I'm just such really a, you know, and I'm a jolly person.
Well, you really are.
Thanks, man.
You really are.
Yeah, you are too.
You know what? I want to talk about something that's, maybe not so jolly.
Not quite jolly.
Well, you know what it is? It's about saving lives.
Well,
is that right?
I'm all about, who is not about saving lives?
This is awkward, isn't it?
It's a little weird, actually. This subject, is about red lights and the cameras at red lights.
Yeah.
And do they save lives?
Well,
that's the question.
This is a lot of people riled up. I think we're going to get some listener mail from this.
Oh, definitely.
Because a lot of people feel strong either way about this. Now, when you hear about a red light system in an intersection, a lot of people, the very first thing that they say, revenue generator.
Oh, yeah.
Because it just sits there and blindly takes photographs of motion and it just generates revenue for the county, the state, whatever. Just continuously. 24 hours a day.
Those cameras, some people believe, are just, a license to tax people.
Yeah. Now these aren't speeding cameras. These are the ones that catch people that are traveling through a red light or an intersection when they're not supposed to be.
Or waiting in the intersection to make a left. They've let out into the intersection, turns red. You can still get a ticket for that.
What's your general opinion about this?
About the red light cameras? I would like to.
Don't hold back.
Okay. As a driver, I don't care for them. It does change your behavior. It is true.
It really does.
You will not push a yellow light as hard as you would without a camera. And I think that's empirically proven.
In a known intersection, if you know it's there,
right,
you're going to back off or you're going to do everything you can to stop.
See, that's my thing. I think that if those cameras are there, it needs to be very apparent that they are there.
I think for the most part, it's pretty clear.
Yeah, they have posted signs.
I've got a few on my way home that I know which intersections those are in. And I'm especially cautious around those intersections because I know that they're there. I know that if I ever get caught in the middle somehow, even if I'm just trying to make a left-hand turn and, you know, I ease myself out and I'm waiting, I don't want to be caught in a situation where I'm on any of those cameras in the middle of the intersection when a red light appears, even if it's, you know, traffic's fault or if, you know, that, you know, you get stuck and you can't quite finish your left until
or something.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But, it definitely gives you a financial incentive not to be a fish out of water, right?
That's right. But it's not supposed to be a financial incentive.
Well, for you as a, for you as a driver, for me as a driver, it translates to a financial incentive because I don't want a ticket.
Correct. Correct. The true meaning behind these things is safety.
Yes, that's why the other, that's why they're made.
That's why they're made. Yeah, that's right. Now, but they've had, I guess, mixed reviews, mixed success, I should say, because, a lot of people have had some, they've had some success, I guess, in fighting red light camera, tickets.
Oh, yes. Sure.
So they can say, you know, it wasn't me behind the wheel or, I don't know how you would fight something like that.
My friends borrow my car.
Yeah.
On yes, a regular so basis.
My twin brother was using the vehicle that day. And the license plate's partially obscured it seems like there's a lot of reasons why you could argue against something like this, right?
If that was me, then why is my luxurious mustache missing from the camera picture, right?
Luxurious mustache. Yeah, that's good.
I go to court a lot.
So. Yeah. In disguise.
Yeah, but that's a good point. Well, people have had some success.
Yeah, they have had some success in battling those tickets. And, I worked for a company for a while that had a furniture delivery service.
Yeah.
And, the owner received a ticket in the mail. Not when I worked there, but prior to that, received a ticket in the mail, for a red light camera violation. And he was able to win it because they simply sent it to the wrong person. It did show his vehicle, his delivery van in the shot.
Mm-hmm.
It was meant to be sent to the vehicle next to him, that he continued through because in the photos that are taken, it's taken, you know, 1.5, I'm just going to make something up, 1.5 seconds before the light turns red, when the light turns red, and then 1.5 seconds after the light turns red. Mm-hmm. So you get a series of 3 photos or 4 photos or something like that. His vehicle never moved through the whole sequence. It was stopped. But the car next to him had moved through. And, so it was really a cut and dry case. And he just said, this isn't my ticket, really. You should have sent it to this guy. But yeah, I can see where this thing would be, deterring people from going through.
Well, let's paint a picture. When we say it's for safety, let's go ahead and prove that, right?
Yeah.
Because this is from the Insurance Institute of Highway Safety. Mm-hmm. They sound pretty legit, right?
Yeah. Very recent press release.
You check out the press release. I'm going to just, a couple of their facts about red light runners.
Sure.
Okay. So I'm going to, I guess, read a couple of facts about the red light runners. People who run red lights in the U.S., can cause
scoundrels.
Yeah. Well, who has it? You know what I mean? Let's not cast that first stone.
No, scoundrels, Ben.
Okay. I have been a scoundrel in my life, in my checkered past.
Me
as,
too, by
as of you. Yeah. But, so thousands of people are hurt each year. Hundreds actually die. And this can be attributed to people running red lights. In 2009, it's estimated that, 676 people were killed, due to these red light running incidents.
In one year,
wow. Over the course of 2009. And they're not exactly sure about this number, but definitely over 100,000 people injured. So about half of these deaths, of these almost 700 deaths, came about with pedestrians or people on bicycles or people who were passengers in other vehicles.
And they're not sure of the number because of eyewitness accounts. It depends on, you know, it's a he said, she said type thing.
Quite possibly.
Yeah, so it's, you know, I had the green light. No, you didn't. Yes, I did. And there's no camera, nothing to document what really happened. So it's just his word against his word.
And running a red light is creates one of the most common crash situations in the States.
I would think it would because this is where everybody comes together. I mean, you've seen some pretty complicated right. intersections.
Yeah.
And I could see how it happens often.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say we've got some doozies up here in the Atlanta metro area. There's a couple of infamous ones around Cobb in Cobb County, which is
I'm sure everybody can think of some within 10 miles of their home.
Oh, surely.
That are complex or just abnormally large intersections that have a lot of traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And, there's some confusion as to, turning left, you have to go a long, long distance to turn left. Have you ever, you've dealt with those before, right?
Yes.
The opposing road comes in at a weird angle.
Sure.
Some are, more than 90 degree turns. There's really unusual situations.
Where there's more than two roads intersecting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And there's just a lot of confusion at these places and the cameras, hopefully prevent some of this from happening.
Yeah. There
That's
we
the
go.
Idea.
Well, so here we are, right? We're Anytown, USA, mm-hmm. and we know that one of the most common causes of an accident is somebody running a red light, mm-hmm. whether accidentally or intentionally. But we also know we don't have the cops, we don't have the law enforcement necessary to keep these people on their P's and Q's. So what do we do?
Yeah, you can't camp somebody out at the intersection 24 hours a day and watching what's going on. Mm-hmm. It's just not possible. So these red light cameras serve a purpose to do that. And as long as they're well posted, people know that they're there, like you and I, Ben, they hopefully – you know, back off a little bit on that one. And maybe if we can get these in, and not that I'm advocating this or anything, but I'm saying if, you know, they were in more at more intersections, mm-hmm. might be safer.
And
might be. You never know. I mean, based on this information that we're getting from the IIHS, mm-hmm. We're hoping that, you know, you'll see the same way.
Break down that press release.
Yeah. Okay. There's a section of this press release that I want to read, and it's not too long. I'll go through it. It's really quick. But it does, as telling Ben, I was going to simplify this whole thing and just make it real quick, but this really has a lot of information that I think you need to know. Otherwise, it just doesn't all make sense. So,
yeah.
Just a small portion of it, then we'll move on, I promise. But okay, so from the press release from the IIHS, looking at the 99 U.S. cities with populations over 200,000, the researchers compared those with red light cameras programs to those without, because they wanted to see how the rate of fatal crashes changed after the introduction of the cameras. See, that's critical right there, how it changes.
Sense.
And that's how they determine if lives are saved, is because if it changes after the introduction of the camera. Now, we'll talk about that in a moment, too, because there's another
right.
number that follows with that. So they compared the two periods from 2004 to 2008 and then from 1992 to 1996. Cities that had cameras during 1992 to 96 were excluded from the analysis, as were the cities that had cameras for only part of the later study period. The researchers found that in the 14 cities that had cameras during 2004 to 2008, here, this is important, the combined per capita rate of fatal red light running crashes fell 35% compared with the same amount of time between 1992 and 96. Okay, but note this. Here's what's important about this. The rate also fell in the 48 cities without camera programs in either period, but it only fell by 14%.
Mm-hmm.
So overall, red light runners, I guess the percentage went down in the number of fatal crashes at those intersections by 14% across the board. But in the cities with the red light systems, it fell by 35%
at
those intersections.
21% difference.
Yeah, exactly. 21% greater difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's astounding. Huge number. So based on that comparison, they concluded that the rate of fatal red light crashes in cities with cameras in 2004 was 24% lower than it would have been without cameras.
Mm-hmm.
That, wait, 24?
24% lower.
That should be 21, I think. Is
it
that
should
typo?
Be, yeah.
I think it's 21%. All right, anyways, that adds up to 74 fewer fatality red light running crashes, or given the average number of fatalities mm-hmm. per red light running crash, approximately 83 lives saved. All right, you got it? 83
yeah.
lives saved in that period of time at those intersections. So the actual benefit's even bigger. The rate of all fatal crashes at intersections with signals, not just red light running crashes, fell 14% and crept up 2% in non-camera cities.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in the camera cities, there were 17% fewer. See what I mean, Ben? This is getting complicated.
Well,
there were 17% yeah. fewer fatal crashes per capita intersections with signals in 2004-2008 than would have been expected.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that translates into 159 people who are alive because of the automated enforcement programs. So 159 people who are alive – based on those numbers, based on the decrease in percentages.
Right.
And that's comparing apples to apples, because that's the cities that had them in 2004 to 2008 did not in 96 to 92 or 92 to 96.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is a good way to do this. I mean, how are you going to say that, you know, we saved a life? It's like, well, somebody slammed on the brakes.
Mm-hmm.
They got rear-ended at the intersection, didn't get hurt, but they saved a life of someone who passed by. You can't say that.
Let's talk about that, because that is a criticism that people have where they say that the red light cameras may actually – let's see. Here we go. From their – one of the questions they ask frequently,
mm-hmm.
Hey, don't red light cameras encourage drivers to stop short, increasing the risk of a rear-end collision?
Who is that, Foghorn Leghorn?
I don't know. It's somebody. It's it's random voice.
That's good.
Thank you, man. So random voice asks that question. And
I see.
Then Yes. And the answer is that while there are studies that show that red light cameras reduce front into side collisions, they can increase rear end crashes.
Okay.
Which does make sense if someone's slamming on the brakes.
I understand that. I completely understand that because I've been in a position where it's like, I can't make it. I hit the brakes a little harder than I would have. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you got to pay attention to what's going on behind you too. But, I don't know what I would think that there's a far less likelihood of that being a fatal accident versus a side impact, which are incredibly brutal. Side impacts are terrible collisions.
Yeah, T-bones. Nobody wants a T-bone.
Oh, have you seen – you've seen the side impacts. You know, a lot of the footage that we see, the slow motion footage of the side impacts that are done in test labs.
Brutal.
Those look horrible, right? Those are – I mean, the car comes into the vehicle. The person's head sometimes – this is worst case. I mean, there's no head airbags – goes through the window, sometimes strikes the other vehicle's hood. And those tests, believe it or not, are done – they look like they're done at about 80 miles an hour. They're done at something like 30 miles an hour. And you know that somebody running through a red light at an intersection is not going 30 miles an hour. They're often – you know, you can't say always, but 50, 60 miles an hour, especially when they're, you know, goosing a little bit trying to get through the intersection faster when they shouldn't be. And they may be the ones that are struck as well. But side impacts are far more brutal than a rear impact typically.
So this is sort of choosing, I guess, between the lesser of two accidents.
Yeah, I think so.
One last thing with the press release that takes it a little bit further. There's a neat little statistic they have in there that says, based on the calculations that, you and I have gone over here briefly, Scott.
In a confusing manner.
No, it makes sense. If red light cameras have been in place for all 5 years of this study period in all 99 cities, again, with populations over 200,000, then a total of 815 lives could have been saved.
Wow.
Which is just amazing.
They could have saved 815 lives. Mm-hmm. So this is cities over with a population over 200,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big city still. Yeah, that's interesting. So we're talking about they can say that they've saved in this time period 159. Mm-hmm. The number could go as high as 815 had they been instituted in all these cities.
Mm-hmm.
So they're talking about, you know, cities that are courageous enough to include these red light cameras.
Right.
Whereas, you know, and you know how it happens locally when they want to do something like this stuff.
Oh, it's a tax increase.
It is. It's a tax increase. People get very upset. And, you know, they say it's just a revenue generator. It's a way to milk every dime they can out of the citizens. And, you know, I can understand people getting angry about something like this. But when you look at the data like this, you see what good it does.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not somebody that is going to violate this, I don't know what the problem would be.
Yeah, it would appear that the answer to this question, do red light cameras save lives, is a resounding yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right. It's definitely a yes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Is there a good reason for them to be there, Ben? That's the question. Like, you know, do people feel that, like, you know, do they still feel like it's just a revenue generator? Do they still feel like it's an invasion of privacy in some way? Do they feel like this is just, you know, a big brother type thing? You know, or is it just too much of an intrusion into their lives? But really, it's stopping them from running a red light, or it's supposed to stop them from running a red light. And when they do, it's just telling them, hey, you're getting the slap on the wrist because you did.
I've got something for you here.
What's that?
The answer to that question.
All right.
So someone says, hey, isn't the main purpose of red light cameras to make money? And that's random voice too. I'm running low on voices, man.
That's all right.
So the answer here is, according to our friends at the Institute of Highway Safety there, no. The objective of photo enforcement is to deter violators, not to catch them. So they're saying, look, we don't want you to get in trouble and pay money.
Says the agency putting up the cameras.
Says the agency. You're right.
See, I'm like the other little guy on your shoulder.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
They say, of course, they've got signage and campaigns that warn drivers about the photo enforcement. Revenue is generated from fines paid by drivers who continue to run red lights, but this is a fundamental component of all traffic enforcement programs. And they say, ideally, ticket revenue should decline over time as the cameras succeed in deterring would-be red light runners.
Oh, okay. So it's illegal to run a red light.
Mm-hmm.
So you shouldn't be doing it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Illegal to run it. It's something that sometimes people do.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people get caught by police officers.
Sure.
So, you know, it's not something that you would never get a ticket for if you were, you know, it didn't have the red light system, right?
Right.
Because of the system, it's just simply catching the people that do this. And if you don't run a red light, you don't pay, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, if I don't ever run a red light, I don't ever pay. So it shouldn't bother me that it's there, but, I don't know, maybe it just does a little bit.
There's this one last sentence I wanted to say for you, because I knew you'd like this one. They claim that independent audits of red light camera enforcement have shown that in some jurisdictions, the fines exceed the cost of the program, but in other jurisdictions, the programs don't break even. So not every town or city that has these programs is actually seeing some sort of lucrative return.
So they've paid more money for the equipment and the installation and the maintenance than they make out of tickets.
Which I must say does add credence to the argument that it's a safety first issue.
True. True. Good point. All right. Well, I guess the only thing that's left then is to have our listeners write in and give us their feelings on the issue, because you kind of get a feeling for how we feel about it. I mean, we're back and forth about it, but what do you think, really? Just let us know.
I'll go ahead and say personally, I think it's a hassle, and I actually, on my way home, I avoid intersections that I know have a camera.
Really?
If I can, it's
unavoidable for me, and I've lived to deal or learned to deal with them. So, and I'm not a red light runner anyways, but right. I'm extra cautious at those intersections because I know that I just don't want to be caught stuck out in traffic somehow.
Yeah. So that's our take on it, guys. Of course, we would love to hear yours. You can tell us on Facebook and Twitter. You can hit us up on the blog. And you can always write to us directly at
carstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. To learn more about the podcast, click on the podcast icon in the upper right corner of our homepage. The How Stuff Works iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander, or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So Toyota is electrified diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.